Good morning, everybody, and an especially warm welcome if you are a visitor or a newcomer to the church here. We do hope you will join us for refreshments in the Mayo Hall behind the church here after the service. And then on the menu today is still interactive worship at 11:30 and reflective worship with communion at 6:30. A few items of pastoral news. Please do remember Dylan, Holly's son, and Holly herself. They've just spent the night at A&E after Dylan fell and cut the inside of his cheek, so we wish them well. Dot Dixon remains in Kingston Hospital, and Ray Taylor goes into hospital tomorrow for an operation. The Open Garden series continues this afternoon at Alison and Steve Holt's house, 2:30 to 5 o'clock. Not many people from the church have been able to get to the gardens yet this year, so let's hope the weather stays good and try not to miss this particular treat. And then next Saturday, the 2nd of July, there are two late additions to the gardens programme. Two secret gardens in edgy North Kingston, 435 Park Road and deep in Sopworth Close. Rosemary and Liz Cook are doing the cream tea. Try that again. Rosemary and Liz Cook are doing the cream teas. So do come along and be surprised by these lovely hidden away gems and lovely hidden away cream teas as well. For further information, please speak to Liz or Rosemary. Next Sunday is film afternoon here at the church. There's a showing of Casablanca, everybody's favourite. Stuart has details, so catch up with Stuart for more information. If you're free at lunchtime today, please do come along to the Chinese buffet in the rotunda to say goodbye to Jason Lee. And finally, both Bron and Kathy would like to say a quick word. But before Bron says her word, I think we should all say a big thank you to Bron for organising the... Bron and her team, rather, for organising the auction yesterday evening, which was a huge success, as she will tell you.
Right, as you may have heard, we've probably made about 3,500 on the auction and another 400 on the door and on the bar. So that is a fantastic achievement. And I want to thank everybody who was involved, and I know who they are, and they know who they are, but you might not know who they are. So I think we need to thank these people, and we also need to thank God for these people. Who are? Alison Holt, Heather and Liz for planning, advertising and organising the money, and Dave for keeping a tally. Ray for being a fantastic auctioneer, managing to persuade people to spend way more than they wanted to spend, but that's fantastic. John, Nigel and Ruth for the magnificent exhibition, which really brought people in. I think that was another pull that made people come, and for everybody who exhibited things there as well. For Margaret, Barbara, Ray, Erskine, Rose, Kathy, Richard, Nick, Phil for the food and the bar, and for Jean for collecting money on the door. And to everybody who offered their skills and services, and to all those who bid so generously, we are really blessed. Thank you.
On a different matter. Just before we move into our worship space, I would like to tell you about an opportunity that we are offering you to explore what being or becoming a Christian means to you. Within the eldership, the life of our church is divided into different aspects. Two of the core parts are worship and faith advancement. Notice the distinction. It is hoped that they complement and work together. We can be seen to worship, but faith advancement, busy or sluggish, is not so easy to see. At this church, we are a diverse group of disciples prepared to be together, and for me, this is one of our strengths. We have different styles of worship, and I'm about to offer you a different opportunity to explore your faith journey. Starting this Saturday, the 2nd of July, at 10:30, and it will continue till 12:30 in the foyer, using the resources of Christianity Explored, in a respectful and gentle way, we hope to empower you to develop your skills to serve, to share your faith within this community. So join us on one of these summer Saturdays, 10:30 to 12:30 in the foyer. Each one of you will be most welcome. Who knows where this may lead us?
As you may be aware, tomorrow, Jason, look at this hair. See, by this time tomorrow, you know, could it be all gone? Jason is joining the army. I was there this week where he made his oath of allegiance to the Queen, but which is an interesting thing to be a part of. But for now, I want us to pray for him. Lord our God, we ask that you would protect Jason. We ask that you would keep him safe. We thank you for his decision to do something with his life. And we ask that he would have good companions, that he wouldn't see and hear things that no human being should see and hear. Lord our God, we thank you for his development as a man. We ask that it would continue. Bless him in his new life. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us join to worship God. In our faces, we see God's face. In our voices, we hear God's voice. In our touch, we feel God's touch. In our gathering, we sense God's presence. Come, let us worship God who journeys among us. We join to sing, Christ be our light. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Creator Jesus, Holy Spirit, Star Maker, Storyteller, Breath of Life, the three in one, the one times three. Enough to know you care, you challenge, you make us holy, and you circle us with love. God of the still small voice, you speak to us when we least expect it. We hear your voice in the moments of chaos, clutter, and uncertainty. Jesus, calmer of the storms, your very presence comforts us. We are upheld by your quiet authority. Spirit, counselor, carry over our pain and celebrations. We gather under your cloak of soft down and sharp flight feathers. And we know the flutterings of new birth. Holy God, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We welcome people into the life of our church for two reasons. One, because we know that everybody is loved by God and is made in the image of God and therefore is right to be among us. And the other reason is because they may be the voice of the prophet to us. Not for what we have to give to them, but for what they have to give to us. So, if you were welcoming somebody, what's the first thing you would do? You would smile. Smile is a good welcome. What else you got? Shake them by the hand. So come on, turn to your neighbour, shake them by the hand. Do it. Come on. Come on, Marguerite. You can shake me by the hand. Right, that's one. You can shake them by the hand. Now, if we were some congregations, you wouldn't shake them by the hand. If you put your hand out to Paul Jacobs, Mr. Street Pastor, I tell you what, he'd go, don't be ridiculous. Come here. Now, the good news is, I know that would be a step too far. So we won't do that. But you could do other things. You could, if you were sort of young and funky, you could bump fists. Couldn't you? You bump fists. Go on, Ray, that's it. Good to see you. You could high five. Woohoo! By way of welcome. The other thing you could do, if you were one... Now this, come on, I think we should do this. If you were one of the Inuit people... Do we know where this is going? If you were one of the Inuit people, you would greet one another by rubbing noses. Come on. Come on, Margaret, you know you want to. to say you are welcome here, not so that you will be one of us, but that so we can hear what God has got to say to us through you. Welcome. We're going to sing unaccompanied. We're going to sing, He's got the whole world in his hands, and I'm not doing the action by myself. So what verses have we got? We've got the whole world in his hands. You and me, just kill it. He's got the whole world in his hands. You and me, brother. You and me, sister. Everybody here. Okay? Oh, little baby, okay. So we've got the whole world in his hands. You and me, brother, you and me, sister, tiny little baby, everybody here. And if I remember that, it will be a miracle. Up we get. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the tiny little babies in his hands. He's got the tiny little babies in his hands. He's got the tiny little babies in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Excellent. Theresa James is going to read the two readings to us. The first is from the book of Jeremiah, which is part of a much longer prophetic action in which Jeremiah foretells the overthrow of the country by the Babylonians. He takes a yoke, puts it on himself, and another prophet breaks it to say that God is going to act in a different way. But Jeremiah says, no, these are going to be difficult times.
So the first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 to 9. Then, in the presence of the priests and of all the people who were standing in the temple, I said to Hananiah, "Wonderful! I hope the Lord will do this. I certainly hope that he will make your prophecy come true and will bring back from Babylonia all the temple treasures and all the people who were taken away as prisoners. But listen to what I say to you and to the people. The prophets who spoke long ago, before my time and yours, predicted that war, starvation, and disease would come to many nations and powerful kingdoms. But a prophet who predicts peace can only be recognized as a prophet whom the Lord has truly sent when that prophet's predictions come true."
The second reading from Matthew. Welcome implies hospitality. symbolized in the gift of a cup of cold water, which can be of itself life-saving. Not even the smallest gift in support of God's mission will go unnoticed.
So this second reading comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes God's messenger, because he is God's messenger, will share his reward. And whoever welcomes a good man because he is good will share in his reward. You can be sure that whoever gives even a drink of cold water to one of the least of these my followers, because he is my follower, will certainly receive a reward.
The prophets believe that God has put a call on their life and they have something that they have to say. And sometimes they say it in words, but they're also great ones for prophetic action. So they give meaningful names to their children. They walk around naked. Jeremiah is a prophet in that tradition. He experiences God at work when he watches a potter with his clay. Here he is carrying a yoke to represent the burden of the people as they live under tyranny. They are displaced people who want to get home. Is God going to bring them home quickly? And Hananiah breaks the yoke. He says that God is going to bring them home in 2 years. So we have two prophets, Hananiah and Jeremiah, and both would use the phrase, "Thus says the Lord." And one says that Nebuchadnezzar will be defeated, and Jeremiah says, "Yes, I wish that was true, but it's not. I wish that was true, but it's not." When somebody says that they are speaking on God's behalf, how do you know that what they say is true? Some would say, well, the first thing you need to do is, does that match with the teaching of the church? And some would say, the first thing you need to do is, does that match with the teaching of the Bible? The danger is that what we actually do is, what's the easiest? What's the most comfortable? What's the socially easiest to manage? What's the one that's not going to involve me doing the most difficult thing on a Monday morning? So I have a cartoon on the wall in my study, and it's this voice says, "All right, God, I admit I have a lousy track record, but now I'm ready to do your will in the coming year." And God replies, "All right, I'm looking for volunteers to spend endless hours watching television while consuming a largely disproportionate share of the Earth's precious resources." "Yahoo," comes the reply, "I'm your man." And God sighs and says, "Nobody gets sarcasm anymore." The message that comes sweet as honey and devoid of challenge cannot be trusted. The message that comes sweet as honey and devoid of challenge cannot be trusted. We need to be cautious when we believe that we are speaking on behalf of God. In two ways, we need to be cautious when somebody says something to you and you know that the honey thing would be to go, "Yeah, you're right. Yeah, not to challenge them. You know, I've had enough, I'm going to leave. Yeah, you're right. Not, what about, how's that going to work out? We need to be cautious about just trotting out honeyed cliches to people. Because there's a danger that they're not the truth. They might be what somebody wants to hear right in that moment, but if they're not the truth, we should not be saying them. We also need to be cautious when we recognize that somebody's doing something wrong and they need to be challenged. We need to be cautious about challenging them. And the reason we want to be cautious is because, one, chances are they won't want to hear what we've got to say, and we will break relationship with them. They've already made up their mind, they're going. And you might say, well, I don't think that's the right thing to do. And you know, all you've done in that moment is break relationship. You need to be cautious. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be saying it, but you need to be cautious. Because we need to remember that one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindliness. Is what I am saying to this person kind? That's all about people that we have ongoing relationships with. Cautious not to speak in sweet, honeyed cliches. Cautious not to give a tough word, because it could be all we do is smash our relationship with them. To remember that judgment is not our job, it is God's job. Our job is to be loving people in the world. And loving is not the same as indulging. Our job is to be loving people in the world. That is what the Lord requires of us. The passage from Matthew makes it clear that we are in a privileged position. That anybody who welcomes us, even just with basic courtesies, which is what a glass of water would be in the Middle East, they will be rewarded for their care of us. Those who accept us accept the one who has sent us. Now, we tend not to focus on rewards, just not the way we tend to do it. We tend to focus on doing the right thing because it is the right thing. You do it for its own reward because you've done something that's right. But these teachings about rewards are in the scriptures. But we also must remember that they might be in the scriptures, but they are not prevalent in our society. That those who would value Christians, value Christian leaders, value Christian input, that is not the ethos of our society. Get over it. It's not. There is not a status that is associated with us that there was once, and it was really quite recently that there was, but it's not anymore. I remember once being out for a drink somewhere, and there was a man who was like on the sort of edges of one of my churches, and he was literally crying into his beer about the fact that the church had never asked him to be an elder and how upset he was. And it was, you know, looking back, just an amazing thing. That for him, it was, he was a Mason and he wanted to be an elder as well, and it was a package. That he was very disappointed, and he had no notion of the servant heart that the elders have to have, but the, you know, the status of being an elder and how important that was to him, and the fact that he'd never been asked and how upset he was. So the passage from Matthew reminds us of our authority. Whatever it might look like, God is in control in the world. And although there are dreadful places, that is not what God wants. And although it looks as though the strong will smash the weak, that is not how it will be in the kingdom. And although it looks like we are a bunch of losers who believe something that is vacuous, that is not how it will be in the kingdom. We do not need a fanfare on the earth because one is waiting for us in heaven. And on the earth, we have to have the courage to do what is right because it is right and know that one day God will welcome us home. So the passage from Matthew is that as you go out to spread the good news, anybody who blesses you is blessing, will receive a blessing from the one who has sent you. And that notion of going out to spread the good news into a territory where the good news is not known is our situation too. There are people who have heard the news and have rejected it. But the vast majority of people are people who are ignorant, even of the most basics of the faith. They haven't heard it. They don't know it. And that whole thing about teaching them is our responsibility. To find ways to teach them, that is our responsibility. And to know that if they engage with us well, as they engage with us well, so they are to be blessed. So that actually, as we engage with them, so we do them a favor. Our role as people who spread the news and speak the truth is to be the voice, the prophetic voice in our community. Who will speak up for the voiceless? Who will speak up for those that nobody else cares about unless we do? Who will be the one that advocates on behalf of the weakest unless we do? Who will be the one that's building up structures for those that nobody else cares about, those who are the most vulnerable in society, unless we do it? We are the ones, we being the church, are the ones who have that prophetic voice of God, that call to do that which is right, to work for justice. And the voice of the prophet, like walking around naked and wearing a yoke and seeing God in an ordinary potter, is a voice that cuts across that which is usual and regular and socially ordinary. So, there are loads of things about our life together in the church that you might think of, oh, everybody does that. No, they don't. Lots of our experiences in our church, those of us who've been in church for a long time, can't even see anymore just how different it is. But the voice of the prophet is our voice. And that will mean that sometimes we are saying to society things that they will not want to hear. But if it is a word of truth, why would you disable people? Why would you damage people by not telling them a word of truth? Let us be still, and then we will pray. ambassadors. That's a word to think about. Help me, O Christ, to realise that I am your ambassador. Whenever people see me, they see you within me. Whenever they hear me, they hear my words as yours. I know I can never represent you perfectly, but may your spirit be within me so that I can do it as well as possible. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" We have one request for prayer. It is written in a child's hand and it says, "My mummy Sophie from Sasha Cook," and she gives me her phone number. So let us pray. Let us pray for Sasha Cook, with her anxieties about her mother, of which we know nothing. And let us pray for Sophia. Let us pray for those who have power, that they may be hospitable to those who need support and help, as well as to those who will pay and flatter them. Let us pray for the church, that it may be hospitable to its critics. To people of other faiths and traditions, and to those who express doubt. Let us pray for ourselves, that we may be hospitable neighbours. Let us pray for those who care for the weak, that they will be hospitable, whatever the needs that confront them. Let us pray for the marginalized, that they will encounter hospitality, that the world will become a hospitable place where they are noticed and their needs are taken seriously. Let us pray for those who work in the hospitality industry, in restaurants and pubs, in clubs and hotels, dealing perpetually with the great British public. Let us pray for any who have asked us to pray for them, or any situations in the last week where we have felt nudged by the Spirit to pray. Lord, we bring our concerns and we place them in your hands. We do it with confidence. And in the name of Jesus, amen. So we now continue our worship by making our offering. Let us pray. How can we respond to the Lord's goodness to us? For the gifts and the graces that you have given to us, we celebrate. The gifts to us as individuals and as a community, Lord, we give you thanks. Amen. Of course, Jason has chosen our last hymn, which for those of you using a book, you will find at number 489, 489, Be Thou My Vision. Gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones will not lose their reward. So let us go in faith and love to serve the world that God loves and Christ died for. Amen.